I'm Kylie from Texas, and you're watching College Volleyball Weekly.
I'm Kelly from Stanford Beach Volleyball, and you're watching or listening to College Volleyball Weekly Beach Top 20.
I'm Allie from Florida State, and you're watching College Volleyball Weekly Beach Top 20.
This is Jamie Whitmarsh from UCLA, and you're on College Volleyball Weekly.
Go Bruins!
Hey, good day, everyone. College Volleyball Weekly, Beach Top 20. And I'm sad to say this is going to be the finale for the 2024 season. And we didn't let people go, but I'm going to say we got Kelly Bilardi of Stanford, Kylie Wickley of Texas. The last two lovely ladies standing because the other ones have checked out since they're technically alumni. That was one of the quotes of the text I got back. I won't say from whom, but it's just funny. Ladies, thanks for coming on to the final episode.
Got to finish it out, you know?
Finish strong, right?
Yeah.
Well, I get it because they had long and illustrious careers. It's Jaden Whitmarsh of UCLA, Allie Hansen of Florida State, and Grand Canyon because she transferred over for last year. But we obviously just finished the national championships this last weekend in Gulf Shores. But before we do that, the All-America team was announced, and I wanted to see what get your guys' take on the All-Americans that were selected this year. Player of the year was Megan Kraft. Coach of the year, Dane Blanton. Assistant coach of the year, Angela Rock of Cal Poly. So any thoughts on any of the recipients there? First, we'll go with the coaches. We'll go Kylie.
Yeah, I think the coaches. I wasn't like surprised by the coaches because they're all awesome coaches, but I don't know. It's a good list of coaches and girls, I'd say.
Well, who else would have been in contention? But I'm curious, you know, from at least a player standpoint. But let's go to you, Kelly. Thoughts on Coach of the Year?
Yeah, I mean, considering their history and, like, what USC has accomplished, I think that makes complete sense. And, like, he is super deserving of that award. Assistant Coach of the Year, I love Angela Rock. I think she's awesome. And because she coached us a little bit last season. It's like she wasn't our assistant coach, but, like, kind of was. I don't know. We had, like, weird thing. Where our assistant coach like left, but I think like she, well, I mean, seeing how well Cal Poly did, I feel like she was a huge factor in that, and so I think that's also extremely fair. I was really happy too that Kristen got Pac-12 Coach of the Year for ASU because that team too took off, and like I was really impressed by how she could turn that program around and make them do so well. It was like really cool.
Yeah. Well, the just for discussion's sake, other people that had to be candidates had to be Todd Rogers of Cal Poly, Andrew Fuller of Stanford. I mean, let's be real. That was a great year for the card. And I'm not saying that because you're on the screen. I'd say that whether you're on there or not, Kelly.
It's true. I mean, I feel like this is our best year yet. That's why the loss was just so disappointing because this year I feel like we could have been like, or we like were in contention way more than we had been in the past. So yeah, it was an awesome year for Andrew and just our team in general.
Yeah. And you bring up Angela Rock, and I'm not saying that she's like this way traveler going from team to team. Just people know that she's got what it takes. And even on the broadcast, who was it? It was Holly McPeak was saying that she knows what she's doing and she's able to get the girls to respond and get the most out of them, which I thought was interesting because, you know, I thought for sure she would have stayed at Cal Poly or at Stanford. And then I'm like, what? She's at Cal Poly now. And you know, it just her influence in the game is pretty intense. And then Kylie, I don't know if you've had any experience with Angela at all, be it playing against her or being coached by her. No, huh? Mm-mm. Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah, I think also Jenny, another more candidates, Jenny Johnson Jordan. I feel like it's hard to take over a head coaching position like that and do it super well. And then also Kristen at ASU.
Yeah. Because. Well, there were a lot of really good coaches that accomplished a lot of great things this year. So, yeah, that had to be a hard discussion. But after, was it the last two seasons, USC has been picked as like the, you know, the underdog. And yet here they end up with two natties. So.
But I feel like last year was more surprising than this year. I feel
I agree.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, they always seem to reload. You know, they got some key transfers in in the off season, and you know, although some of them didn't play a lot, the fact of the matter is they are super loaded.
They are.
Because they're plugging in, was it from the fours and fives, and they're winning, you know, with Maven Thomas and Grace Sykes. They're playing around with a few of the lineups, and they were still winning. You know, they maybe had two or three losses.
Yeah, it's true.
How about player of the year? Good choice?
I mean, yeah. Iwata, right? Like, she...
Yeah.
And for you listeners, I'm not throwing shade on Megan. I'm trying to start a discussion here if there's anyone that's in contention. So
I think if anyone's in contention of that, they haven't seen beach volleyball or like know about it. Cause like, oh wait, I said that wrong. I mean, if anyone tried to like go against like saying she didn't deserve it, that would be wrong. But other people in contention were like Lexi, obviously, Delaney Maple too. But I think Megan is super deserving of it. Anna's proven that all 4 years of being at like four national championships in the 4 years you're there. I mean, I guess you could say the same thing about Delaney and the Norses, but like that is crazy.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I think something special you add with Meg is the world tour stuff that she plays in. Like, she's one of the best players in the world also. So it's kind of hard not to give her that.
Well, it's funny because I didn't really get into tracking beach volleyball until like roughly, you know, 2015, 16, 17, that range. And I'd always seem to see Delaney and Meg in the finals or in the medal rounds versus Lexi. And at the partner at the time was Riley Powers.
Yeah. At
everything in July. I'm like, oh, you guys gonna face. In fact, I went through my old Google Drive. So I had to send questionnaires out to the athletes so I could talk about them on the broadcast that I was working. And I'm like, oh, it's funny. Delaney, Meg, Riley, Lexi. We're all in my profiles.
It's crazy. I like seeing also like all the connections that people make from playing together in juniors. And now like we're all on college teams, but like still all know each other and like play like kind of around the same flights. I don't know. Like there's probably so many games that Delaney and Meg have played Lexi, like probably like most of their games in college.
Right. So
it's wild.
Yeah.
You have something to add there, Kylie?
Yeah, I mean, Lexi's been at the ones her whole career, and Megan Delaney the past two, and then obviously Megan, Tina, like their sophomore year. So
they've been seeing each other for a long time, huh?
Like Kylie said. Yeah.
Wait, let's go with Hala Harwood. You want to play with Tina Gardina? Who are you going to go with, you know? Well, it's interesting. Looking at the rest of the ABC All-Americans, it's interesting reading on the site there, but 32 players honored that represent 13 schools. Three players become four-time All-Americans. Lexi Denberg, for all you listeners, of UCLA. Zelani Hodel, your teammate, Kelly, of Stanford. Megan Kraft of USC, and not a shocker there. And Denberg is the fifth athlete to be a four-time first-team All-American, and this is the third All-American honor for Florida State's Maddie Anderson, and that's a pretty solid group of athletes in collegiate beach volleyball in the last 4 or 5 years. What you think, Kylie?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think there's so many players also on the list that, like, I'm like, oh, they should totally be on that list, but there's so many that it's like, you'd have a huge list of people, but I think all those girls are super deserving of it.
Yeah. Kelly, do you have something to add on there?
I mean, I agree. Them, Lexi being like a four-time All-American, all of them getting that, most of them getting that honor before, just shows their impact that they had on beach volleyball. Like when I think about when I was younger and I was growing up watching it, I remember like Sarah Hughes and Kelly Clays, then like the McNamara twins from UCLA. And I feel like all of the names you just listed will kind of be like what younger girls are thinking about when they think of beach volleyball right now. Like, I feel like they're the faces of it, and they've proved that the whole time they've been in college.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Other notes in the release were Cal Poly, UCLA, and Stanford led the way in total All-Americans with four apiece. That's great for those programs. Two players from Arizona State made the second team, which marks the first time in program history the Sun Devils have had All-Americans. So former school for Kylie there. So, you could have been part of that batch, but you moved back home.
Happy to be home.
So let's go to some of the selections though here, and we'll do that really quick. Some of the East Coasters, Jetta Bianchi, was a first teamer from Florida International. Maggie Boyd from UCLA was on there. Ella Connor of Cal Poly. Again, they were the fresh, they're the sophomore sensations now. Malia Jimentera and Taylor Hagen of Long Beach State. Annalena Camille of TCU, along with Haley Hamlet and Delaney Maple. Can't leave her out of that. Izzy Martinez, Ella Connor's partner. But Brooke Rockwell, freshman from Stanford. I'm not saying, you know, let all the beans out of the bag and secrets about Brooke, but she had a phenomenal year with Zelani.
I said, I remember like in the beginning of this podcast, I think it was like the second episode, I was like, Brooke Rockwell, she's going to be one to watch. Like, she's going to be really good. And I don't know, I'm really proud of her. Like, I think she's so deserving of that. And to come in playing with a senior as a freshman in all of these super intense matches, I think she handles pressure really well. And so I was really happy to see that she got that.
Yeah. Another name that came up on there, and I believe she's a junior college transfer, but you know, it's unfortunate we don't have Jaden on here, but she's a San Diego girl. Alana Embry of Hawaii got second team All-American, and she had another great year at the ones for Hawaii. So, and I believe, is she a wave? Or I got to look it up, I guess. But she is really, she's got a skill set that's pretty darn good for Hawaii. So any experience playing with or against her? Any of you two on the screen?
Yeah, I remember this last summer. I feel like she kind of looks like Perry Brennan at UCLA, and I remember this last summer we were all like, oh my gosh, she looks just like Perry. And then watching her play, she was really good. We were like, oh, and yeah, started to pay attention to her.
She's super crafty. She had a lot of range on her shots and a good defender, a lot like Kelly over here.
Thank you.
You know, I'd seen Devin Newberry and Perry Brennan were also All-Americans as well. Jamie Santer of Hawaii. Few LSU girls, which doesn't shock me, but we'll talk more in detail as we go. And Taylor Wilson again of Stanford, Alex Young Gomez of Cal is on there. I feel like Cal could have had more names on the All-American list. Not, I'm not saying that they were wrong, but as Kylie was saying, there could have been so many other athletes on there. I mean, because you know,
only one FSU girl is crazy.
Yeah,
Allie's not here, but that was shocking to me.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because last year they had a few athletes that people are watching, like Anna Long. You know, I know she has the skill set to be one of the top players in collegiate beach volleyball. Alex Durish, another one. There's a few that I'm like, wow, they got left off the list. I'm sure they were on the conference, the CCSA.
They weren't really, though.
Interesting.
It's kind of
I feel like, though, is there like a certain amount of All-Americans that they can give, and they give it like more to the most team, like UCLA or USC gets four and then like Stanford gets four because they're the top? Or like, is there a way that they do that?
That just varies from conference to conference, because you know, some will award the entire bank to, you know, two-thirds the conference, you know. But
yeah,
you know, I'm actually gonna try and pull it up here for this season on the CCSA, because it just seems like with how well FSU did this year, I feel like they should have had more names on there. So
maybe it had to do with the fact that they were changing around people so much that it was hard to kind of
true
do that,
because they maybe did shuffle around. Yeah, because even Allie had been moving around from the ones to the threes.
He had like seven partners or something crazy this year.
There, I got the release up. Yeah, only they actually had four in the all-conference team. Audrey Koenig, Raylan White, Alex Durish, and Anna Long were up in there. And then the second team, Kaylee Truslow, was the but there's not that many considering the conference. I mean, with the teams they've got, it's pretty much LSU, Grand Canyon, Florida State that received all the awards. So, but yeah, it's definitely interesting that you usually see a handful of Florida State girls in the All-America. So maybe that'll serve as motivation for the next season, because we know that that is a good team.
Yeah.
What I wanted to also look at were the top flight recipients, and alphabetical by school, Arizona State of the twos, Arden Bessiker and Ava Williamson. Didn't get to see a whole bunch of them because they were too far away in the court when they were out here, and I couldn't really observe their play. But Kylie, I know you know a little bit about them.
Yeah, Arden transferred from Florida State. She had a great year at the twos, won a lot of games. I think they got up to like a 10-game winning streak at one point.
Wow.
Which I feel like is hard to do at this level. And then Ava's a freshman. She moved up to the ones, All-American. Although she was not on the Pac-12 freshman team.
Oh, interesting.
But, yeah.
What? Stuff like
that kind of was funny.
Like how?
Like,
I was honestly kind of shocked by the freshman team because, like, I think only Brooke and Ruby got on our team. Maybe I'm biased, but my partner Chloe's a freshman, super good. We had all there was a freshman in every flight.
Oh, interesting.
Or almost every flight. I don't know. So I thought, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Well, there. I mean, without a doubt, there were. I mean, that was the talk of the year, was Stanford has a bunch of young guns in the lineup all throughout the lineup. We just didn't know how they're going to separate, how Andrew's going to put you guys. I'm like, honestly, it's kind of heartbroken that you and Ashley weren't playing together. But I mean, I understand he's the coach. That was more for sentimental purposes.
That's funny. I know.
So the next three pairs are from Cal Poly. They ones, twos, and threes, and they did have a great season. Ella Connor with Izzy Martinez, Piper Furch and Aaron Inskeep, and Lindsay Sparks and Quinn Perry. What did you observe from them this season? They, in the top flight, because they had to win 75% of their matches and play in at least 15 matches together. But they, Cal Poly was good, but this was their bread and butter right here. These three right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's so hard to be so consistent out of ones, twos, and threes, and they did that so well. And I feel like that showed up at the national championships and really like got them to that semifinal.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I was just gonna say I agree. I also saw, I think came out today, that Piper and Aaron got like the most wins as a pair in a single season for Cal Poly.
That's right.
Which I wasn't shocked by, and like watch them at Gulf Shores. I feel like we talked about this in an earlier podcast too, like when we were first starting to talk about all the teams and stuff, and we had all said how Cal Poly, like the players that they have are like very experienced just because they've grown up playing and been playing for a while. And I think when you have so much experience, like winning, like, I don't know, it makes it easier. And I feel like they showed like all their experience and how they can mesh really well with each other. Also, they're all young, like pretty young, except for Lindsay. So that's cool for them.
She's called the grandma of the team.
Yeah.
I confirm that. So, but yeah, I didn't realize that because Izzy Martinez is a sophomore. Aaron Inskeep, freshman, fresh out of MiraCosta. And Quinn Perry, I believe Santa Monica or Venice as a freshman. But the way Todd paired him up, it worked.
Yeah.
And you know, who got a lot stronger in the second season was Izzy Martinez. She has got such a whippy arm swing and has become a great defender. So, and then seeing the influence of the grandma, Lindsay Sparks, to Quinn Perry. So I saw them one of the first duels of the season, and I'm like, ooh, this is going to be interesting to see how this develops. But I think with Quinn playing with Lindsay, she has gained a lot of the confidence from Lindsay and can play. So she's not only blocking, she's playing defense, and she's hitting really hard and really confident on her swing. So, that's why they call him the professor. You know, Todd Rogers is finding the right mix and getting it done.
Quinn Perry has always had such a heavy arm. I remember I would like practice with her, I think before I went to college, and I think last summer too. And like, she hits it so hard. It's kind of like the way Zoe Henson hits it. Like, they don't just like hit it like, oh, to get a kill. It's like so fast and so hard. And it's like really impressive. I remember being like, Quinn Perry, like, will be good. If she'll be good. And she showed that.
Yeah. Anything to finish up with the Cal Poly top flight recipients? Good there. Skip over to Hawaii, another Big West school. Riley Wagner, Sydney Amiatu, Hannah Maidman, and Sydney Miller. Two seniors gone after that, but they've had great careers at Hawaii. Both the Sydneys, Amiatu and Miller, one's a San Diegan. I can't recall off the top of my head where Sydney Amiatu is, but Hawaii's got a good future in the Big West with the youth they've had playing with all their elder statesmen, so to speak. Thoughts on them. We'll start with you, Kylie.
Yeah, I feel like Anna Maidment, she's the I remember watching it at NCAA, she like is a shark diver, which is
Yeah.
super cool. But I think this kind of made me think, I feel like there's so many seniors right now that are like really strong at a bunch of programs, and they're all gonna be gone next year. And I
Yeah.
feel like it's gonna be a really interesting year next year. I feel like anybody can take it, but I think yeah, those girls are pretty good.
Yeah. Anything to add, Kelly?
Yeah, I mean, not really. I agree. I feel like Hawaii showed how good they are too by winning their conference tournament. That like wasn't expected, right? Because Cal Poly was in there.
Yeah. Yep, they had
Yeah.
they were in a must-win situation in the Big
Yeah.
West Championship to get into the tournament. And
Yeah.
it came down to the fours court extended third set tiebreak. So
Wow.
it was exciting. I was there for it. So
Yeah, that's so cool. I don't know. I was happy when I saw that for Hawaii because I was like, oh, that just means like more kind of, like Cal Poly would definitely go, and like Long Beach. So I don't know. I was happy for them, and I thought that was cool. And I think the only time we played them was in Hawaii, but they've been super solid all year.
well, that's what Evan Silverstein, their head coach, said. It's like, you started off the season 0-5. Were you worried? It's like, who'd we play? Stanford, LMU, USC, UCLA twice.
True.
So,
Yeah.
like, right into the fire. Not even like, hey, let's get a feel for this dual thing. And everyone got thrown right in.
Yeah.
Stanford had a big start that weekend with some upsets. So.
Yeah, we did. We started hot. That was like the story of our team. Started hot, and then I don't
Well,
know.
the interesting, we'll go to another. LMU has two top flight recipients in Michelle Schaefer and Velma Pretty, who will be graduating. So they lose their number one pairs, but they've been consistent all year for LMU, and I think everyone knows that, and that's why they were so properly awarded the top flight award. But the other team that you mentioned in that Big West is Long Beach State. They had four pairs in the top flights, and Julia Westby and Savannah Standage, Natalie Glenn, Mo Gibson, Christine DeRuz and Megan Widener, Taylor Hagnott and Malia Gementera. And with a lineup like that, you'd think, oh, they're the easy number one in the Big West, but it was Cal Poly.
Yeah, it's true.
So, well, there any quick comments on them? I'm really rushing to get to a certain school because I'm excited. No.
I feel like I didn't know that all four of those teams got top flights, so that's really impressive. Good for them. They have like so many good players.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they're always pretty good.
Yeah, I think they just had timely loss, or
Who did
well,
they lose to?
they lost to Hawaii in that Big West Championship
Oh,
match.
yeah.
So, and like I said, it was that final is high drama.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anything out of Long Beach, Kylie?
Yeah, I think a lot of really good pairs. I feel like they're like sneaky good too. Like, yeah, but that's a lot of, that's a lot of teams to be in the top flight.
Yeah,
So
that's good for Coach Mike Campbell, but I mean, it was like, they're excited to be in tournament. Like, the big concern being at the Big West Championship was, are they going to award a second at large to a Big West team? Because they knew the automatic was going to be in when with Hawaii winning it. I think they obviously wanted to win it, but I think they were planning to be an at large. But it once they got the at large, then Cal Poly was going to be the favorite to win that Big West tournament, and they got upset by Long Beach in the semi. So there's a whole lot of nerves going on that last 2 days of the Big West Championships.
high drama, high drama
Yeah.
always in beach volleyball.
Now this is the next one that's interesting because I don't think any of us knew a whole bunch about this team, but that's been the MO for this team. LSU. They had Aubrey O'Gorman and Ella Larkin at their threes, Emily Meyer and Yali Ashush at the fives in the top flights. But I mean, well, we'll talk about the tournament here after the top flights. But I mean, they kind of flew under the radar.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when we went to LSU, we played LSU's three. It was Ella Larkin, and she had a different partner. Then, whatever, we played them. Then the next day, they played USC, and then Aubrey went in for Ella's partner, and then they beat the Norses. LSU ended up beating USC, and I think ever since then, she's been in the lineup. But I think that was her first game in the lineup against USC, which is crazy to me and super good for her. She's good.
Yeah. Anything to add, Callie?
Yeah, I think I went on a visit there and was talking to the coaches, and they were like, no one knows anything about any of our players, but we kind of like it that way. And I feel like it's kind of good to not like know who people are and just have to play, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's pretty amazing the work that Coach Russell Brock does there, because he's a big culture guy. Not that any other programs aren't, but I mean, he has to find people who are playing beach volleyball for the first time and train them in the game. And that's where he gets his talent. And I mean, the results show they're always a top 10 team. So I'm going to rush through these other ones here, because we've already talked about Megan Delaney of USC. They got obviously the ones, they are top flight. Audrey Nicole Norse, they got top flight awards at the twos and the threes, because I guess they moved back and forth. Maddie Criz, your former teammate at Stanford, Kelly, and Grace Seitz, the former LSU Sandy Tide. Ainsley Riddell and Maben Thomas. Ainsley, transfer from Cal. Everyone knows about them because they're winning all year long. But any thoughts on the USC pairs?
I think at first glance, like for the looking at Maddie Criz and Grace Seitz, they didn't end up playing together in the national championship. And same with Ainsley Riddell and Maben Thomas. So I feel like it just goes back to your point of how they have so much depth. Like, I don't know, like switching around the partners and like Audrey and Nicole getting at the twos and the threes, like they just have a lot of depth. And it's impressive.
Kylie.
Yeah, I agree. They have so much depth on that team, and like to have people in a top flight and then they don't even play in NCAA just shows that.
Well, they're grabbing a bunch of Texans, apparently. That's where their pool of talent is.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And a few Canadians here and there. Angelina, Camille, and Haley Hamlet of TCU at the ones. But Stanford, Taylor Wilson, Ruby Sorup, love them. They're good. But it's the Kelly Bilardi, Chloe Hoffman, who's in there that we wanted to talk about.
And, thank you.
Well, let's go to Kyla. We'll ask her the question. Kelly has been a pretty solid athlete in her 2 years that she's been at Stanford so far. Thoughts on her play and her ability to get these awards?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to pretend like Kelly's not here. We're just talking about her. But Kelly's had an awesome 2 years, and I feel like she's like continued to grow as a player. And so I think she's super deserving of that award. And I also think it's awesome to have freshmen in there. Just shows that they'll continue to be an awesome program.
All right, Kelly, you got to tell us about Chloe, though, because honestly, again, I was like, oh, they're never going to separate her and Ashley. But, you know, I was like, oh, wait, midway through the season.
It's true. I know. I remember when he sent us a text on our group chat. I was like, oh, we're going to try to switch the pairs. We don't know if it's going to be for sure. We just want to see how it goes. Because me and Ashley had played, like, Hawaii was super good for us. We were at the fours. Then we got moved up to the threes, took a loss to TCU, a really bad loss. Like, it was really bad. And then I think we lost two more games to someone, and then he decided to switch all the partners. So playing with Chloe is awesome. She's like, I feel like the best way to describe her, she's such a competitor and like really wants to win, which I appreciate, because I would say I'm that way, would like do anything to win. So I don't know, I'm proud of her and I love playing with her, so that was cool.
Yep. Well, congratulations, Kelly. It's like always fun to see someone on the show getting a recognition on the national level and in the conference level. We don't want to ever overlook that. But that means we're going to go to the Gulf Shores recap, and there is so much to talk about. And I know could be a little hard here because you got in the path of a team that just went hot. And I'm talking about Stanford and LSU, but let's talk about the tournament as a whole, because I know a lot of people were following anyways, but you know, everything went as planned in that first round, with the exception of the LSU-TCU matchup, it seems. But I wanted you guys to talk. Kylie, what matches stuck out in the opening round for you?
Honestly, what stuck out to me in the opening round was USC and UNF, and also UCLA and Texas A&M Corpus Christi. I feel like those teams really competed with them, and UCLA lost two first sets in those games versus them. So I feel like that just shows like how the sport's continuing to grow with teams that, like, I think most people didn't think would compete, and then they're right there with them, which I think is awesome.
Yeah. What about you, Kelly?
Stick yeah, out next. I agree. I was going to mention what Kylie said about I think, like, every team, I only know this because it was like us doing something good, but I heard, like, every team lost a first set or had a fight lose a first set except for Stanford in the opening round, which, you know, doesn't mean anything, but, like, it's just cool to see how all of the teams that make it to the national championship should be there and can give, like, anyone a run for their money. And, like, the stakes are so high there, and, like, pressure and, like, the atmosphere, it's all, like, a lot. So it kind of makes sense to me how stuff like that happens. But I thought that was cool to see. And it goes back again to what we talked about in the beginning of the year, how beach volleyball has just expanded and so many teams have gone way better than they were in the past. So that's cool to see.
Yeah, well, you bring that up, and UNF was one of those teams that made a late season surge because they weren't in the top 20. And here they are in the tournament, and everyone just kind of sleeping on them. They started winning some big matches or big duels at the end. But yeah, the that matchup in the first round between LSU and TCU, I mean, that was a coin toss, because TCU, without some of their, you know, people or athletes seeking to get an Olympic run here, but they've had a great season nonetheless, but LSU just turned it on at the right time.
Yeah. I was watching that game because it was right after my game. And what was crazy that I noticed, which I feel like hadn't happened in the past as much as I watched, I feel like usually I'd watch and it'd be like side out, side out, side out. But in that game in particular, it was like, TCU would be up by 3, then LSU would be up by 4, and then, like, there were so many runs in that game, I'd always be like, oh, TCU's gonna win, oh, wait, like, LSU's gonna win. I think LSU had a crazy comeback, not, like, a crazy comeback, but they came back in the third to beat TCU, which was, I mean, they had good momentum. It was good for them.
Yeah. Kylie, any other thoughts, sir, before we move on?
Yeah, I think... I think, like listening to, like, indoor volleyball NCAA recaps, I feel like John Cook, that's a Nebraska coach, right?
That's right.
Yeah, he was, like, talking about the Texas team, like, because Texas almost lost in versus Tennessee in their, like, championship run, and then, like, somehow came back in a third set and, like, kept winning. And it was like, when that happens, your team kind of feels like they can't lose, and, like, it's, like, magical, I guess. And I feel like that kind of showed with them. Like, they got a lot further than a lot of people thought they would.
Yeah. Well, that opening round was fun to watch, and all full day of just duels going on multiple devices. And thanks to ESPN and ESPN Plus for allowing me to watch every single duel that I could before I worked. And while I was working, sorry, but that's what you get when you hire me. So, well, the next round, USC took down LMU in a sweep. Cal Poly, that was a big one against Florida State.
Huge.
I did not get to watch that one. So curious what you guys observed in that quarter matchup, if you got to watch it.
Yeah, I think it was going on, like, we were first walking down to the beach when it was going on, but we got to see some of it on TV in our hotel room. And I don't know, I was excited to see this matchup because they've never played against each other, right?
I think they were at the Center of Effort Challenge the week before.
Oh, they did? Did FSU win?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't remember. Oh, 3-2,
they won. They, like, scraped it out.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know they had played before, but I remember watching and being like, I expect this to be a really good duel. And it was that. I mean, Cal Poly showed grit and also consistency, which I think maybe FSU lacked a little bit. I don't know. I feel like I can't really speak on that, but I knew it was going to be a good duel. So I was happy for Cal Poly. Obviously sucks for FSU, but I think that was cool for Cal Poly to make it that far. And I think they deserved it.
Well, I think they ended up finishing the highest ever in their program history this year. And the recent AVCA poll has them at 3. So that's a great movement. I mean, the highest they'd been was 4, but that was during the year, actually just last week. So they moved up. So it's good stuff for sure. Now, the one I'm going to hate to, like, mention, though, is the LSU Stanford matchup, because I was watching like, oh, Stanford's up 2-0, but I'll let you go from there, Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was just like heartbreaking. I feel like, but I'm gonna take this in like a positive light, it's a lot to learn from. But I think for us, like, we showed throughout the season that we can compete with these teams and that we're good enough skill wise and like talent wise, we're there. And last time we had played LSU, we swept them at home. Like, we won all of them, every game. So going into it, like, no one thought about it in that way. And like, I knew they were going to be tough, especially the team I played. I knew they were going to be hot. They just upset TCU. They were the deciding dual point. But what was the hardest part was on all the courts that lost, they're like, in my court, we were up 13-10. I know on the twos, they were up 14-11. So it's like, being so close and not being able to close it out was just really tough. But I don't know, TCU played well, they wanted it. And
LSU.
Oh, LSU. I like trying not to remember their names, you know. But yeah, I don't know, just upsetting, but because I feel like we could have done more, but exciting for LSU.
Yeah. Kylie, thoughts on that quarter matchup?
Yeah, I think sometimes just like when you're hot, you can go through things and like kind of like, yeah, what I was saying earlier.
Also, the LSU twos, like, they were so hot. They beat our twos, then beat UCLA's twos. So, and I think they got all tournament team for the tournament. So,
oh, that's Riley Allred, yeah, and
Piper Bracken. Is that Parker, yeah, Bracken? I don't know.
Parker Brett. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that was intense how quickly that turned around, because it looked like Stanford was serving for dual clinching points. And within 3 minutes, it changed. And that's part of the excitement of collegiate beach volleyball. Not if you're on the receiving end of that, but gosh, it made for an exciting duel because everything turned so fast.
Yeah.
So, but a hats off to LSU. I mean, they really ground that out because it looked like they were done. And I mean, like I said, minutes, it turned around. So,
yeah.
Sorry,
it's
Kelly.
How, no, it's all right. It's crazy how that happens in beach volleyball too. It's like, you think you're going to win, and like, just like that, it's like, oh, wait, they just lost. Like, now it's all down to this court, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, with that, you know, takes everyone into the semis. You know, UCLA ends up facing LSU, wins at 3-1. And then USC defeats Cal Poly 3-0, which sets up the championship match. And as everyone knows,
it's the classic match.
Yeah. Like, I feel like we've seen that matchup like 6 times this year.
Every national championship, like, come
and
on.
Pac-12, it's like, just they just keep, it's those two teams.
I have a question for you guys, though. And this actually came from a media colleague of mine. They said, I think the worst thing for collegiate beach volleyball is to see USC and UCLA in that championship match right now.
I literally said that. I was like, it's just so sad that no one else can do it. Like, I don't know. I also feel like this year would have been the year for that to happen. But next year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but you do have rising programs. And with the training that some of the athletes are coming in with, I could see it happening. I mean, look how quickly Washington, Arizona State are rising up from the Pac-12. But then you look at those other teams like at the FAU, Stetsons, Tulane's, they're also moving up because there's so much talent out there in so many different areas. I mean, from Missouri in that area, that, you know, one of the clubs I had met, they have a solid group of girls in this area of, I think it's St. Louis, Arkansas, and one other city that they all train together. They drive like 3-4 hours, but it's a solid group of girls who've all signed, by the way, some with Texas, some with TCU, others with UCLA. So, I mean, the talent's out there, and I think it's going to get pretty challenging to actually maintain the top seed. You know, the only way that you can really sneak up on someone is you bring like a foreigner or something that no one knows about, and if they're coachable and all these different factors. But you know, I mentioned this before we went on, but I just found the graphic. But, you know, so this is obviously USC's 4th national championship in a row. And then they've gone 12-0 at the NCAA championships. And Dane Blanton as head coach is 17-0 in matches. So that is a phenomenal stat line just from 2 years in that program. So, yeah. But I wanted to ask you both. I know, Kylie, you'll be on next year. You'll be off your redshirt year. Kelly, you come back for junior year. But what should we expect to see next season as we see a lot of the staples of the programs graduate and move on? Kind of surprised you on that one, huh?
I can go. I mean, what I was saying earlier about kind of like the faces of beach volleyball, I feel like they're all leaving. So, or like most of them. So I think now it's just a good opportunity for people to start working, and anyone can take it. I think this year, I'm like, haven't really looked into like who's going into what program next year, all of that, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think beach volleyball is just going to keep growing, and hopefully we'll see. There all obviously will be upsets, but I don't know. I'm excited to see. And I also think next year, all of the competition will be like similar with like upsets happening all the time, kind of like it was this year. Whereas I feel like in past years, it was always USC, UCLA, which it was again this year. But I think just more programs will be on the rise, and it'll be good for younger people to step up and become the leaders of their programs.
Well, you go in a new conference next year, the MPSF.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to watch.
I know. I'm like, just thinking about what that will be like, but it's mostly all the same teams, mostly, except GCU.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Kylie, your thoughts. And now that you're going to be not redshirting.
I know.
And in a new conference, the Big Ten, right? They're starting the beach conference.
So we're going to the SEC, and I think there's some bad blood there for us. So we will not be joining the Big 12.
Oh.
They did not want us there, but that's okay. I think that we'll be in the CCSA, mm-hmm. which is a good conference. But
LSU, Florida State, South Carolina. It's easy.
I think it'll be a chill conference.
But yeah, I think obviously like Meg Delaney, the Twins, they won all 4 years there. You know, every year that they were there. So I think we're kind of going to be entering a new era of the college beach volleyball without all those people that were the face of the game for so long. So I think next year will kind of be anyone's game. So it should be interesting.
Good call. I think it's a great place to end. I want to thank all of our contributors this year, even the ones that aren't on here. Jaden Whitmarsh of UCLA, who's checked out because she's graduated. She's alumna. And then, Allie Hansen, who's flying Texas to a undisclosed location near the Wickley home.
I love how that's been like a thing. Like,
you know.
And then, of course, you got Kylie Wickley of Texas Beach Volleyball and Kelly Bellardi of not only Stanford Beach Volleyball, but off.
Oh, you just cut out for a second. What'd you say?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, my device. Are you hearing me still?
Or now we can. Now
we can hear you now.
All right. Well, I was asking about, you're one of the few remaining indoor beach players, Kelly.
I'm actually not playing indoor next year.
Oh, the news is broken.
Yeah. It's not top secret, but yeah, I'm not. I'm just going to focus on beach. I want it, so.
I'm excited for you.
For next beach season.
Well, then let's thank Kylie Wickley of Texas Beach Volleyball and Kelly Bellardi of Stanford Beach Volleyball for their service this year. And appreciate all that you sacrificed time-wise to keep growing the game. And for all you listeners out there, I encourage you to follow not only them, but their programs and anything NCAA Beach Volleyball. We've seen exponential growth, even more so this last year. And you know, I saw a graphic. I wish I would have captured it, but just how fast it's growing each year. It's on the broadcast over ESPN, but the hottest thing happening right now is a collegiate beach, and the talent is insane. You'll go to a duel and you'll see some epic battles no matter where you're at. So, ladies, thank you again. I wish you best of luck the rest of your school year. I think you're in midterms tomorrow, Kelly, and Kylie's just kind of cruising right now, right? Oh, wait a second.
Yeah, I'm done.
You're done?
Congratulations. Wait. You got the Longhorn Community Award.
Oh, thank you.
Go, Kylie.
Women in leadership, right?
Yes.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
Happened to catch that on Texas Athletics social feed. I'm like, why didn't she say anything? Why is it not on the Texas Beach feed?
Yeah, that was fun.
Again, ladies, thank you so much. I look forward, and if you're willing to come back, I will always have you next season. I always wait till a few months before because I know that priorities can change. I get it, and more responsibilities increase as you go in your programs. But I can't thank you enough for the time you guys spent this season.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to College Volleyball Weekly. Be sure to follow Rob Aspero at the Rob on the Mic on Instagram and at Rob on the Mic on Twitter.